Well, good morning and welcome. Before we jump in this morning, let me go ahead and dismiss the youngest among us. You are released. Thank you, Jeanette and Mary. They're going to tag team today. So it is good to be together. I will say it's good to gather together, to assemble, right? We can think last week. To assemble in all of our differentness, as Phil so beautifully shared with us this morning. God, the heart of God, from beginning to end, right? He gathers together. He assembles the community, fitting together the different parts. Translation, each one, everyone matters. You matter. You mattered last week. And you still matter today. As we now head to what is the last Parsha in the book of Exodus, the last Parsha in Sefer Shemot, what is the book of Names, Parsha Pekudei. It picks up in Exodus 38:21 and runs all the way through to the end of the book, which is 40 and 38. Noting Pekudei not only continues the story, the building the construction of the Mishkan, but finally it wraps it all up. It brings it to an end, to a close. And so what really began all the way back at Exodus 25 with Parsha Truma, and then Tetzaveh, and then into Ketisa, and then last week Parsha Vayakel, today finally it wraps up with Parsha Pekudei. We find it here, the opening line, 38 and 21, Ele Pekudei Ha Mishkan, translated, these are the amounts of the materials used. That can also be translated, the accounts of the tabernacle. Keeping in mind here, it's referring to all of the gold and the silver and the bronze, all of the blue and the purple and the scarlet yarn, the fine linen, all of that sort of stuff, which again, wraps right around and returns us back to Exodus 25, back to Parsha Truma, to where it all began. Reading, the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. What is here in Parsha Pekudei language, the amounts of the materials, you are to receive the amounts of the materials, you are to receive, it says, the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. Meaning, as we saw many weeks ago now, right? It's about the generosity of the heart. Anyone whose heart is bent toward generosity, what is the activity of giving both freely and abundantly? And so in a very real way, in a very significant way, today we come full circle. Noting that on one level, Parsha Pekudei, it's not only about the amounts of the materials, right? Again, gold, silver, bronze, yarn, fine linen, all of that. But on a deeper level, it is absolutely about a generous heart. It is about the offering of a generous heart. Which is why today I want us to fast forward to the Gospels, specifically to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 12 and verse 38, and so if you want to grab a few Bibles, 7:18, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. We're going to pick it up at verse 38. Noting again, what we find in the Parshiot, what we find in the Torah, what we find more specifically maybe in the building and the constructing of the Mishkan, what we find all throughout the backstory, we find here flowing into and through then the life of Jesus. Noting, this is now quite a bit later. The Mishkan, the tabernacle, is actually no longer in use. Now the Holy Temple is in its place. And Jesus, at this particular point, he is there at the temple. He is there in the temple courts. It's a time of Passover. Hundreds of thousands on pilgrimage. They've come to the city of Jerusalem. They've come and gathered at the Holy Temple. They are there to both remember and to celebrate the deliverance, their deliverance from the Egyptians, from Egyptian bondage and rule. Jesus has been teaching, and here there is a large crowd listening. And at verse 38, we read, as he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Keeping in mind that phrase there, "they devour widows' houses." To devour a house was an ancient idiom for using deceit to take someone's property. It's the act of defrauding a person of their home, of their property. And then we get a bit of a change here. It's a change of scene. Verse 41, we're still in the temple courts. Jesus is no longer teaching. He is now, we could say, observing. We read, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put. And again, we can think back, all the way back to Parsha Truma. Deber al b'nei Yisrael, tell the Israelites, vehikuli, to bring me teruma, right, an offering, to bring me the amounts of the materials in Parsha Pekudei language. You are to receive the offering, you are to receive these materials for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. And here at this moment is Jesus. He's sitting. Now, again, this is the temple, not the Mishkan. But here's Jesus sitting opposite the place of the offerings. And it says, he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. In one sense, like Moses in today's Parsha, right, he is taking an account. He has taken an account, Ele Pekudei of the Teruma. It says many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow, quite likely she is one of those that Jesus was just talking about, right? The one that's been defrauded of her home. That one came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. So here again is Jesus. He is sitting in what is called the court of women. You can imagine there's loads of people all over the place, some very wealthy people, and they are putting massive amounts of money into what are these offering boxes, what are trumpet-like shaped containers. They're narrow on top, they're wider at the bottom, 13 of them in all. And according to the historian Josephus, as a depository for massive amounts of money, the officer in charge of treasury administration was second in importance only to the chief priest. And so it's in the midst of that here comes this widow, but not just a widow, it says a poor widow. Poor here can also be translated destitute. It has this sense of continuing on. And so she is a poor widow and she continues to be poor. So she puts in two copper coins, leptos would be the singular in Greek, amounting to 1/128th of a denarius, which is a day's wage. The point being, in the language of money, the widow's offering is really insignificant. Which is why I think Jesus then goes on, verse 43, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you," right? Pay attention, listen up. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. That phrase "to live on" here is from bios in Greek. It's where we get the word life. Meaning she didn't just give it all, but we could say she gave her all. She gave all she had, right? Her complete, her entire, her whole life. From the author Kathy Omlung, the widow gave her all, signified in two tiny coins, because she considered nothing she had as her own. Everything she had, everything she was, down to the most intimate core of her identity, was from God. She wasn't sacrificing a portion of her livelihood to God, but by the grace of God, she was entrusting her whole self into God's keeping. Her two tiny coins were the final, foolish, unspeakably humble, outward manifestation of generosity. What is in a word, the kind of generosity that really flows all through the story of the Mishkan? Ele Pekude, these are the amounts. Translation, this is the generosity. And so heading back to Exodus for just a moment, all the work, we read, so all the work, Exodus 39 and 32, all the work on the tabernacle, on the Mishkan, it says the tent of meeting, it says, was completed. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and it says the glory, meaning the presence here of Yahweh, filled the tabernacle. Right, in the language of the song we just sang, He is here. He is here. Hallelujah. And then in a way perhaps similar to the conclusion of the Mishkan, Parsha Pekudei being the conclusion of the story of the Mishkan, the scholar James Edwards, he says, the nameless widow concludes Mark's account of Jesus' public ministry. The initial call of Jesus to the disciples, to leave all and come follow me, right? Meaning be in my presence. To come follow me is perfectly fulfilled in the giving of two simple lepta, symbolizing an undivided and generous heart. Which I hope invites us then to some reflection. Right? To sit in stillness together and to listen for God to continue to speak. To speak to our hearts and minds. And to consider, how might I live each day with a heart of generosity? How might I live each day with a heart of generosity? How might I live this day, this moment, with a generous heart? We could ask it like this. We could say, what would it look like to offer a heart of generosity to another? What would it look like to offer a heart of generosity to another? And perhaps, just perhaps, that means gold and silver and bronze. Perhaps that means blue and purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen. It could. And yet, we could think care and compassion and kindness, a listening ear, a helping hand, a word of hope. What would it look like to offer a heart of generosity to another? And then with that, maybe to sit and to consider, what would it mean for me to give my complete self to God? What would it look like to give my complete self, my entire self, my whole self to God? What would it look like to entrust my whole self into God's care? What would it look like to entrust my whole self into God's care? And then finally, what am I holding back? What am I holding back from God that He is inviting me to offer up? What am I holding back from God that He is inviting me to offer up? Ele Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the amounts of the materials.